You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yes, sir. We wear caps and sleeves at this level, son. Understood?
Welcome to the California Penal League, people, friends, loved ones listening. This is Pitchers and Catchers Report Edition 2024 of the California Penal League. The Cleveland Guardians pitchers and catchers have reported, and boy, do they look glorious in their new red hats.
Have you gotten yours yet?
No.
We'll start there.
Well, we'll get there in a second. Yeah,
okay.
Obviously, I'm Steve. Fabs is here. And I did want to just really quickly introduce that we do have on as a guest here today, a minority owner of the Atlanta Braves, Chris Slocum, who does own controlling stock in the Atlanta Braves, but just so happens to be a huge Cleveland Guardians fan. So he is here
as well. I finally put 95 behind us, guys. Finally.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, we were just talking about things that'll get us canceled. That might do it by talking about the Braves here on a Guardians podcast. But, dude, to your most important question, I have not bought a hat yet. But I will say, I do love the spring training hats this year. I love the red.
They're glorious.
However, those leaked batting practice hats, I may have to wait for the official launch of those.
Yeah,
because they are freaking amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody out there has seen the leak from UniWatch, but oh my God.
I just saw this today. Did you see the St. Patrick's Day hat?
No.
New Era just released it today.
Ooh.
And okay. I picked up one from last year because I was in the team's store and they were like $15, and I was like, I dig that now. Like, I dig the St. Patrick's Day. You know, maybe 10 years ago I was like, oh, I would roll my eyes at it, whatever. But this year's St. Patrick's Day hat, I believe it has a white front. It's kind of like the Blue Jays, like white front panel, all green the rest of the way out. Green sea outlined in gold. And the outline in gold is just chef's kiss.
I'm gonna have to see if I is it. It's on here. It's maybe on I the can, New Era site.
I saw it on Instagram.
Okay.
As you talk, I'll look, and I can see if I can bring it up.
Oh, I found it. It's on Fanatics.
Oh yeah, and here I found it too.
Oh, that is.
I'm the only idiot that didn't.
That's my camera is being.
Yeah,
well, I can't show you again.
It's kind of nuts because,
but it was.
I have to say they've really been like bringing it this year, New Era.
Yeah,
like they've stepped their game up. Yes, and it's been for a lot of teams. Like, I don't know if like for the Guardians, it took them a while to figure out like what the hell they wanted to do with the new logo, But like, even the batting practice hats are pretty nuts across the league. Like, they're all really, really solid.
Really fun hats. Like, the Philly Fanatic.
Dude, I love that Philly Fanatic. I wanted a slider one. I was explaining who slider
was. I was
my coworkers, and they were just staring at me like, okay, man, are you going to like leave our table? And yeah, I did. I made them leave.
You showed them what was up.
Exactly.
The Dodgers one was kind of boring, though. That was just like the curse of D that they've had for the past couple years.
I like that one.
They're all it's a good look. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. They're
it's
all a good business. Look. World Series or bust.
Yeah.
They don't have time for fun hats.
No.
I am going to a suite in April, though. Nationals-Dodgers.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. What are you going
to? I'm just sitting there. I have to watch a like presentation before it.
A timeshare?
It's not a timeshare, no. No, it's an HR presentation.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, it's even worse. Somehow it's worse.
You could stomach that for a...
It's like 45 minutes, and then you get free food, too.
Are they basically telling you, Fabs, like, hey, don't date your coworkers, it's frowned upon?
No, it's a vendor that... They're a great vendor, too. I'm not going to say that on the air, but they're awesome because they have these events, these like high-end mixers, and I'm like, listen, like, we're straight up... I'm not, like, stringing them along either. I'm like, we're straight up not going to be... Like, we just don't have enough people on my team to even, like, implement your product for at least a year. They're like, that's fine. Like, we just like you. And, like, here, they have this event later this year, too. They're like, hey, we're going to this Michelin restaurant, and then we have, like, a Lakers box. Do you want to go to that? I'm like, send me the information. Like, I might be able to squeeze that one in, too.
I'll find time. Nah, man.
Well, hopefully you'll be able to bring one of these cool new hats.
Yeah, I would just wear one of these same pants. Because they have I'm a big fan. I like the fitted. I like the stretch ones. So they have the curved bill. And because those are always like $10 cheaper, too, than the fitted hats.
Fitted hats are pushing $55, $60 bucks sometimes now.
It's crazy, yeah.
Oh.
Well, I like the low profile fitteds that they're doing. Because like, not only are hats pushing $50, $60 bucks, but the crowns are getting higher and higher. And it's like the crowns are like a foot off my head. And so like it's hard to wear those sometimes for me.
Gust of wind, Steve will get knocked down.
I get taken away. It fucking sucks.
It's like you're like a kite. You become a kite.
Yeah, so I kind of like the curve. I do like the low profile adjustable or fitted with the curved brim. But I also saw New Era has this like they're doing all these like crazy things now.
And you sent us this, the like, one that was the wool. Stitch, the wool with the stitching.
I like that one too.
I'm not going to lie. Like that one didn't do it as much for me. I like the stitching. Don't get me wrong. I like that. But the whole Cleveland spelled out was a little bit much.
I like it though. Cause you get the leather strap in the back.
Oh. Leather strap. I'll do a strap back. If I'm going to do like anything that's not non-fitted, straps usually work best for me. I have a Barry Bonds-esque head.
Yeah, you're Barry Bonds after
after the steroids.
Balco Bonds.
Yeah. I'm Balco Bonds hat size, pushing a size 8.
Yeah, I'm a real sucker for the adjustable snap hats. I've really gone that route recently.
I mean, if my head could fit into them, I'd have 35 more hats.
Dude, it's
and I'd probably also be grotesque. Single because my wife would be like, I can't stand it with the hats. I'm gone.
Yeah. Bye. Yeah. My wife, I told you guys I won my squares board and I told her I was going to buy a new hat with it. And she promptly roasted me.
Well, you know,
the amount of hats that I have.
Chicks, man, they don't get it.
Dude, I was like,
with shoes. I was like, what do you need more for? Like,
okay. Well, if we're going to go into this route, I now have 5 or 6 Adidas forums that I don't wear.
I love the forums. So there's.
I just love the forums. And this episode has gone into fashion more than we've ever thought.
Hey, it's now, okay. We had a busy off season.
Yeah. Now here's the thing. Yeah. Now, if you're wondering if you're still with us and wondering what the hell's going on here, they're talking about Guardians hats. I venture to guess a lot of you feel the same way because they're cool. And then,
but you secondly, know so here's the thing. Here's the thing too. Anecdotally, I can say this. I feel like most Guardians fans are in my camp. where the Flying G logo came out and they kind of rolled their eyes at it like, eh, whatever. I don't dig it. But they didn't hate it initially off the rip. And they're like, whatever, it is what it is. And it's grown on them. Because mm-hmm. I've seen some Instagram and face or Twitter polls that indicate that more fans than not, who are at least answering these polls, that I mean, maybe there's a closeted community that hates the logo, but I feel like fans are coming around to the Flying G logo to the point where I'm like, I kind of dig it now. Like,
yeah,
I'll admit when it came out, I was like, eh, whatever. If that lasts three seasons, I'll be surprised. Here we are now.
It's here to stay, baby. I loved it from the start.
You were a huge advocate. My wife were the only people.
I liked it a lot to begin with.
Yeah.
Not as much as Steve. I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. I was still bitter about the name, though. I was still like die on the hill that it should have been the Cleveland Municipals. The Block C should have been Old Municipal Stadium. It would have tied in like all this cool stuff, but it's can't do anything about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think Steve and I both wanted spiders, but when that was...
That would have been dope, too.
When that was being... I mean, the name's grown on me a lot. Yeah. I mean, I said I would never call them the Guards, and I refer to them as the Guards more often than not now.
Yeah, I call them the Gardos a lot.
Gardos, that's great. Yeah. That's great.
So, like, it's kind of fun. It's you know, it's like a silly...
it's a freaking name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they've got a cool-ass logo that apparently hat companies have figured out what to do with. So
still to get it tattooed someplace on my body.
Whoa. Get it right on your forehead as if it was the crown of a hat.
Well,
dude, you should get a hat tattooed on your head.
Maybe
that would look so good.
Maybe if my wife tragically passes away and I'm like,
whoa, this episode got crazy.
And I'm like, I'm never going to love again. And I make sure of that.
You turn into Rocky Balboa.
Yeah. So I go like full on Travis Barker with like a hole on like head tattoo that,
mm-hmm.
you know, people like 10 years ago were like, I didn't peg Chris as that kind of guy. And here we are now, 10 years later, he's got a freaking head tattoo.
Yeah. These are the things we think about and talk about when it's an off season of nothing.
this off season has been grim.
I'll tell you what, and it's around the league. Like, I was looking at the list of free agents that still are sitting out there, and I know we've been talking about like spring training position battles for a lot of the off season, and we're gonna keep doing it. But I keep looking at all these guys out there, and I know there was that report, not a report, but I think it was like Jim Bowden who was like, "Hey, you know what team would be a great fit for JD Martinez? How about those Guardians?"
Dude.
And then I keep seeing like Whit Merrifield sitting out there, and it's like eventually somebody's got to sign these dudes, and they're going to sign for like 1 year deals,
yeah,
that are going to be like crazy cheap, and it's like
that's
going to piss me off.
I'm still hammering the point because okay, we always knew that the Guardians weren't going to probably sign anybody. Like the Guardians have like one big free agent splash every like 7 years. And they just
got that last year.
Yeah, we wasted that last year on Josh Bell. Yeah, Josh Bell was the big free agent signing, and before him it was Encarnacion. And before that it was Swisher and Bourne. Like, so for real, it is like every 6 to 7 years. But like I still see like a guy like Randall Grichuk, where I'm like, he's not gonna sell any jerseys. He's going to sell like two tickets, but he's a quality player. And I'm like, and you could probably get him on a 1 year, $6 million deal.
Yep.
And
I mean,
all of a sudden it's like right field is a little bit more clear.
I'll tell you these free agents, man, it's desperation mode time. I mean, pitchers and catchers have just reported. So like, guys like Cody Bellinger and...
Yeah, I saw somebody talking
Blake
about him.
Blake Snell.
Yeah. I saw somebody mentioning Bellinger, and I was like, man, I'm like, if you could get Cody Bellinger for, like, 1 year, $16 million. Why not?
Hell, it's getting to that
hell,
point.
Like, I bet you he signs like a 2 year, $35 million deal just so he doesn't have to go through this bullshit next year.
Mm-hmm.
It is really, isn't it really bizarre to you guys that over the last like 10 to 15 years, free agency periods have gotten like, they've become such a fun thing for every league, but Major League Baseball, which is, it's gotten significantly worse.
Yeah. And I wonder if it's like a cat and mouse thing with like the owners where they're like, we're going to give guys like Shohei Ohtani like crazy ass money, but we're going to stick it to the rest of the league and we're going to make the players like, well, like it's almost as if they're like actively
so something discord. Yeah. So something I want to get into a little bit later, you know, there's been a couple of retirements this year in this offseason, and there's been a couple of retirements, I want to say like the last 2-3 seasons, right? Of guys that are our contemporaries, guys, you know, in that 35 to like 38 age range, retiring probably like a year or two earlier than they may have otherwise retired. And I think
I was like,
like a guy like Kipnis.
Yeah.
Dude retired when he was like 33, 34. I mean, he'd kind of fallen off a little bit of a cliff there towards the end, but like he probably could have played for like another year or two. And I think to Fab's point is like, I think it is a little bit of this cat and mouse game and a little bit of like the owner sticking it to the players. And it's like, they'd rather bring up a 23-year-old than pay a 33-year-old.
The guy I always think of in that case is Jermaine Dye. I always think of him.
Oh, because that's a name I haven't thought of in
That's a good poll, too. Years. Yeah.
I for whatever reason, I always think of him because he was like 35 years old. I just looked him up on Baseball Reference. But like I remember like that was a dude that in his last year when he was 35 hit like 27 homers. And it had a very good like 102 OPS plus 250, 340 split.
But he could have played for another 2-3 seasons.
And just left. Nobody signed him. Yeah. And it was just like, what a bizarre...
That's so crazy.
...thing. Well, that, you know...
And it's been a while now, but like, there's the whole... MLB owners, probably more than any other group, don't want to pay for past performance as much as they do want to pay for current performance.
Especially when they have an entire like farm system.
Yeah.
And I think they're starting to get a lot more savvy with how to use it. And that's also, unfortunately for the Guardians, that was like their superpower of like 4 or 5 years ago. Like they played their farm system only like Tampa was their contemporary. And,
yeah.
and now there's
a few other teams in the mix now too. Yeah.
Calling people up. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
And speaking of retirement, though, are we going to do that later?
Yeah, we'll save that for later.
Okay,
we'll save that for later. Let's do it.
You want to do it now? Okay, let's do it now. Let's dive into it now.
Two greats retired. One probably would have made a big significant impact in the 2016 World Series, and one nearly pulled off a Madison Bumgarner World Series with Corey Kluber and Michael Brantley.
Yeah. Oh, man, that 16 team. If Carrasco and Brantley were healthy.
Dude, I know. And if Trevor Bauer's not playing with freaking drones.
And if Frankie Lindor doesn't take naps.
It's just.
What could have been? What could have been?
But I've had in my life, I've had maybe 30 minutes, including 2 seconds from that World Series where I was like, the Indians/Guardians are about to win a World Series. 29 minutes and 40 seconds of that was in game 7 of
97.
97. And then
In fairness, there was a few seconds in 07 when we were up 3-1 against the the Red Sox in the ALCS.
I love that everyone was just like, whoever wins this is going to blast the shit out of the Rockies.
Yeah. There were some seconds there, too. There were some seconds there, too, because I got pissed.
You're right. Yeah, I did throw a mic, or I threw a toaster through my wall.
Yeah.
That was college me, though. I've evolved.
Yeah.
But 20 seconds when the ball came off of Kipnis's bat, I was like, it's foul and like very short. Never mind.
Yeah. I still watch that that swing from Kipnis every now and then and just try to will it a little bit further down the line.
Oh,
but
my God.
I was watching like some Corey Kluber highlights, and somebody else, I can't remember where it was, I'll have to find it, but like somebody was throwing out like the advanced stats on like that, like the Kluber ball, basically, like that two seamer crazy thing cutter that he threw, and like that it was, and then like he threw like a what would like nowadays be called like a sweeper, where it wasn't like so much a slider or a curve, and it was like one of the most like deadly effective pitches like in the history of the game.
Yeah.
And for that stretch from like 2013 to 18. Oh, by the way, so first of all, there's that. Now here's another thing we need to do in a separate episode. So don't let me forget this. And just for anybody listening, you should play this game. Basically what you do for your, because I was thinking about 2017 Corey Kluber in this scenario. So you basically create a 26 man roster and you do it using one player from 1998 to 2024. Yeah. And you make a 26 man roster using only one player, but can never be repeated from each of those seasons. So like you can pick Jim Thome, but it can only be one, like
98 Jim Thome.
Right.
Okay.
So
we'll do that.
It's a super fun exercise because yeah. like it gets real
Maybe
funky.
Maybe we do that for our next episode.
That sounds great.
Yeah, because it's not like, I mean,
oh, we you know, just nothing going, like there will be nothing going on in the next like 3 weeks. Like I hate to break it to fans, but like Steve said earlier, pitchers and catchers are just now getting there.
Yeah.
Infield, some infielders and position players are there, but like until we hit like March 1st, like there's not gonna be much.
We did there a might version be a
signing.
Of that.
There might be a signing, but
do you remember that, Chris? We did that version.
We did that version of their careers.
Yeah, you and I did it where they never overlapped during their entire careers.
Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I don't care.
It drove us to madness.
You did it. You did it similarly, but their Cleveland careers never overlapped.
Right.
Yeah, but you guys did it so difficult. Yours was so difficult.
Yeah, me and Bev were stressing out over it. We're like, 2 hours before, like, we're going on to, like, record.
I missed
my
kid's birthday party working on that thing.
Yeah, I mean, I lost. Some of my hair went gray.
I slept like a baby. Yeah. Fucking cheating that one.
But, no, okay, so single player, single season. Yeah, that's not as difficult.
And it's also very fun because it has to be a legit 26-man roster, so it's like you're picking bullpen guys. You know, it's like you're going to obviously pick. But you could pick 2016 Andrew Miller.
Oh, I'm going to pick 2016 Andrew Miller.
But time out. Can I pick guys from the same season, or do I have to have a guy representing every season?
It's a guy representing every season.
Okay. So I couldn't double up on like Emmanuel Clase from 2 years ago and...
No, it's one guy.
And Jimenez.
One guy can't be repeated, has to be every year. So it's like, who was the best player in 1999 that you have a need for that you wouldn't find in another spot?
Oh, man, I'm starting with Cy Young Award winners. I mean, give me Sabathia, Cliffley, and Corey Kluber, and
yeah,
Shane
that's
Bieber
a good
to, like, that'd be my
record. Well, that's true, because, like, I mean, you could just say, like, you could run out 2007.
Like, what, 2018 Jose Ramirez or whatever?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get, like, Ryan Garka then as, like, an...
Yeah,
be my first baseman.
Yeah,
hide like, Casey Blake somewhere.
Yeah. No, never.
No, you can't. You can't.
Never.
Why
never.
You ever. Need him as a your third base is set.
Never ever.
You don't need.
Never ever. No, I will never give Casey Blake any kudos, props, whatever. After 07.
Anyway, so that's a fun thing.
But anyways,
but I did like. But, I liked no, your.
That is fun.
I liked your question though, Chris. Yeah. On who the next players to make the Guardians Hall of Fame would be, and I do have an answer for you.
So
in that.
Yeah,
it's got to. It wouldn't it have to be Sabathia the year?
It's going to be. It's going to be Sabathia this year. Like,
yeah, for sure.
So, like, what I've noticed,
he was wearing the Indians hat to the. He was wearing. Super Bowl.
Yeah, he was wearing the Indians hat with Blake Lively last night.
Wait, was that really him? That was him.
Yeah, that was him. Like literally right behind Taylor Swift and Blake Lively, like a row and a half creeping behind them. That was CeCe Sabathia.
That's the booth I wanted to be in. I did not want to be in that. Like. Guy Fieri Carrot Top booth that was like the Las Vegas.
Jimmy Wayne Kimmel was there though. I would have been chopping it up with Jimmy Kimmel, and there was somebody else in that booth.
Was there too. I would have been like talking to him about spot props or something.
No, but I would have much rather been with Blake Lively and Taylor Swift. Yes.
What a strange suite. Why was he there?
I don't know. Like that's what I need answered is like, why was CeCe Sabathia in that suite?
Well, I think it makes sense though, because the Kelseys always have like Cleveland legends, like Bernie Kosar. So like Jason Kelce might have been like, hey, Sabathia wants to.
Yeah, actually
spot.
Bernie was at some playoff games.
He was like late two games with them. Yeah, hanging out with Taylor Swift. It was awesome.
Dude, I am not weird. I'm like not convinced that CeCe Sabathia. Someone's gonna have to really
CeCe Sabathia lost weight, buddy.
I don't know, man.
He lost some weight. That's him.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I mean, hey, man. It's possible. Either way, he's wearing a Cleveland hat, and that's sweet.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. But no, CeCe's on the ballot for the Hall of Fame, and I've noticed that...
Dude, that class is going to be...
insane.
Legit.
It's going to be awesome.
Ichiro and him are going to be first ballot.
Dude, we might have to take a show road trip.
I would do that for CeCe Sabathia and Ichiro. I freaking love Ichiro.
Might have to take a show road trip.
I like that Ichiro's living out his best days in Japan, beating up high school teams,
hitting home runs into high school windows.
That's what I would
and just like crushing and like. Remember, he like was pitching against the one and was just like obliterating
in that high school
all
star game. Yeah, throwing like 80-mile-an-hour heat, and I was like, I could hit that.
I mean. That is like bonkers though. Like imagine like baseball is a Japanese invention, and it's like that's where Major League Baseball is. And Barry Bonds played there and came back and was like our hero. It's like he's the best we've ever sent to major leagues. And then he's like playing high school all-star games. Like that's so cool.
it's so weird and like it's like you're going to send a 50-year-old dude up against 16-year-old girls? It just doesn't seem fair.
He's beating them. I love it.
Dude, it was like no mercy. No mercy
still
there.
Still got it. Yeah, still got it.
But to answer the question, CeCe is for sure the next big name going into the Indians / Guardians Hall of Fame. Kluber is right there behind him. Same with Brantley. I'd argue that for sentimental reasons, Carrasco is there too. And I think you start getting into some interesting names after that. I think Kipnis owns a lot of records, you know, for second baseman, and he had a good career here. I think he's in there. Obviously, Jose's in there, and then it gets really interesting. Like I don't know after that.
Yeah, I mean, you could still look back at some of the other, like
Sizemore, probably gets
right,
in.
Like
you know,
go back
gets
a little
in.
Bit further. Yeah, go back a little bit further.
I'm sorry, I completely left one off the off. There's a couple of names actually. I apologize for not mentioning. So Sizemore, obviously Victor, and Carlos Santana.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I forgot those three.
Yeah, I'm looking at. I mean, a lot of the like teams from the '90s now have
the '90s are pretty well represented. I think at this point.
I mean, you know, you got pretty much everybody you'd expect in there. But I think,
the one guy from the 90s that's not in there, but he only played here three seasons was Robbie Alomar.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, okay, his three seasons here were amazing. Don't get me wrong. but I feel like you need a little bit more longevity.
Yeah, you got to have more of an impact.
Yeah,
man.
You can say the same about like friggin' Oral Hershiser. You know,
yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Decent. I talked to him on an airplane one time about the Indians and
Oral Hershiser.
Yeah, he was sitting behind me. He was coming back from. We were flying back with William from Ohio, and we had connecting flight in Phoenix, and he was finishing up the Dodgers spring training in Arizona, doing announcing for it. And him and I talked for like 5 minutes about like the 90s Indians.
And did he move like, his seat?
He like loved it. He was like,
awesome.
It was like one of the best times of his life. And he was just
really,
he was like just really bummed out. They weren't able to like win one.
Yeah. That's cool. So did he give you any good nuggets or just that he loved it?
Just that he loved it. Like he said, like some of the guys are pretty wild, but like he was really cool about it. And just looking at these Guardians, this is like a total sidebar. And we've already talked about our complaints of ownership, but yeah. I do really hope at some point we have like legitimate ownership because it is like really, I'm really happy. You know, Cleveland gets shit on so much. Just looking at the Cleveland Guardians Hall of Fame, they have such a big place in baseball history. And it's really cool that like some of these names you see on here are just like the most famous baseball players of all time.
Yeah.
And we deserve so much better to like get a nice string of 10 years, 2 World Series titles to just like, so the young baseball fans in Cleveland know like, oh, like there has been sustained success. This is the baseball isn't just, you know, cause with the Cavaliers, you know, they didn't form till the 70s. They weren't good until like the mid to late 80s, early 90s. So it's just like that history isn't really there other than like LeBron, which is massive. All the Cleveland's Brown history is all basically everything before 1990 was good. And everything after, except for like one or two seasons, was terrible. So it's just Guardians baseball, man. I just like I want it so badly to just be
same
a juggernaut. Like I want to be. Because it can happen, man. Like, yeah. I want to be with the Chiefs. Like, give me fucking 3 championships. And I want to be greedy, man. Give me 3 championships in, like, 5 years. Like, I don't want to just, like, the one-off.
Oh, man, that would be – that's another topic for another day. But, yeah, I'm right there, too. And I – again, maybe this is just me being too optimistic, but I really think – that the pieces are in place for that.
I feel very optimistic
between about, like, the players in the heading. System, between the potential new ownership group. Like, I think it's there. I think you have the ingredients. You just have to have it all come together.
I mean, this may sound crazy, but like, because of our division, and this is literally the only Cleveland sports. I was texting Steve today about this, that the way to be and Steve had a great response to this. He picked out the next one. But I said, you know, if you want to figure out your Mahomes or Brady in the future, look for a team that has an elite quarterback with a skill set, which is obvious, a great head coach, but is also in a division that's total ass.
Yeah.
And he picked out CJ Stroud, and he's totally right. It's, you know, it's. I mean, Brady and Mahomes are like the goats. Like that's, I'm not, it doesn't diminish their accomplishment, but like the AFC East was horrible almost every year that Brady was a quarterback there. The AFC West has been terrible. And that's such a huge advantage where, you know, not only are 6 of your games going to be like probably win.
Yeah, you're probably going to win. You're going to win 5 and go. You're going to go 5-1 in those divisional games. Yeah.
So that gives you a higher probability of getting that first round bye. So then you only have to win 2 games, both of them at home. Even if you don't get that though, your first round game is a home game, and you're probably going to be probably the 2 seed. So your first 2 rounds are home games. That's just such a massive advantage, and you're in it every single year. You know, and so like that's we do actually have that advantage with our division. But what I was going to say, it sounds crazy, is I feel better as a Guardians fan for our future than if I were a Toronto Blue Jays fan.
Oh, because 100%.
The Yankees, they always, you never know what they're going to do. The Rays, You never know. Like, they always just figure out a way. And now the Orioles are just like, that's the next team.
And they have a new ownership group.
I know.
That, I mean, being the, oh gosh, like, and being like, having like the Blue Jays as like my C team, I can see that logic. Because it's like, wow, you have some of these generational talents on your club right now.
Yeah.
You know, you have Vlad Jr. You got Bo Bichette. Not Bo Bichette.
Biggio's kid.
You got a couple other pieces there, too. Like, you have some generational talent, and it could all be for naught because your pitching is eh. And you have the Yankees willing to spend $200 million a year, and the Red Sox are just the like drunk uncle who you don't know what the fuck they're gonna do year to year.
That drunk uncle who hits that big parlay,
yeah,
and buys Christmas gifts,
yeah,
every
year. He rambles on about Dunkin' Donuts all the time, and
exactly,
and Matt Damon and Ben Affleck flicks.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, the Red Sox are actually almost due for that really random ass.
It's gonna be next year, Steve. It's gonna
be
next year because fucking Netflix is doing that special with them. And last time there were cameras there with freaking Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore, they won the damn World Series. I've made my peace with it.
It will be after
stupid
this
Red
season.
Sox are going to win the freaking World Series this year. Because there's going to be cameras in their faces.
Also, it's just like being in that division. It's like, cool. At least two other teams are probably going to be playoff teams. So it's like you're going to have to get super lucky to win the division. So you're probably going to be a wild card team, meaning you have to be in that first best of three. Like you're going to be on the road. It's such an uphill battle.
Yeah. No, but you're right. I mean, nothing the White Sox did this offseason, have done, will do. They're not doing anything. The Royals will have more than 50 some wins. But again, what they've done, what the Royals have done this offseason, and somebody said this, so I don't want to, you know, misconstrue this as my own original thought. But they're like, the moves they made were like moves that you make to a veteran team to kind of get you over the hump.
Very weird moves.
Like, if the Guardians would have made those moves, I'm like, okay.
Makes sense. You're going
from an 85-win club to, like, a 90-win club.
Yeah.
I get it.
You just hope health's on your side if you're the Guardians. Yeah. The Tigers are interesting.
Tigers are interesting. I still think they're a year away. And, you know, could a lot of their guys have overperformed last year? Sure. Could a lot of the Guardians players underperformed last year? Sure. That's kind of where I'm at with those two clubs.
Yeah.
And then the Twins, I think they just got worse.
I agree. I want Javi Baez. I don't want to see that dude's fucking face. I'm just, he's a plague. I'm so annoyed with him.
Who?
Baez.
Oh, Javi Baez?
Yeah, with the Tigers. I just like, fuck off.
Well, he's definitely stuck there. So
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
He found a sucker
to sign him. He's there for like two or three more seasons, I thought.
Yeah, something like that.
Real quickly on the Sabathia front.
Yeah.
For the actual Hall of Fame, do you think he goes in as an Indian? Or do you think
Yankee? Probably Yankee.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of the whole he and Manny were like the two guys that I was like, would always kind of look at. And it's like Manny's stats in Cleveland are actually oddly very similar to his stats in Boston.
Yeah. We've looked at that before. They're like dead on.
They're like, yeah, they're dead on. And I think he actually had an extra year in Boston too. CeCe's stats are very similar, but I think they skew a little bit more towards the Yankees.
And he was on that World Series team.
And he won the World Series there too. Yeah. So
okay,
it's like,
then I get
it. It's kind of like, yeah, you know, if you're gonna split hairs, you're gonna split hairs with the World Series title. I get it.
Yeah, I get it. Okay. That makes sense.
But no, I mean, if he's
not, isn't that where he got to like 250 wins there?
Yeah. But I mean, he put up good numbers here too.
Yeah, but he spent also like
he spent like 10 years there and like 7 here.
Yeah, 10 seasons. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I don't So, it makes sense that, like, some of his numbers there are better than they were here. So, like, yeah, like, it sucks that he won't go in as an Indian, but I also get it, I guess, to a degree.
Yeah.
It'd
be really funny if he goes in as an Indian, because Yankee fans would be so fucking pissed off.
Oh, God, that I'd love that. I'd love that.
Yeah, they're definitely lacking Hall of Famers, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it.
But switching gears a little bit, guys. My one point in our notes kind of feeds into the other. We have to endure Bally Sports another season.
Yeah, and then let me ask you. So, all right, let me ask you this then,
yeah.
Chris, because I think I know enough about it to this, and I think I know the answer here. But so, you know, the situation is basically the same as last year,
pretty much.
And the Guardians are basically most likely going to lose, you know, maybe 15% of what they were owed last year. So whatever the hell that ends up being. But here's my question.
Yeah.
I still won't be able to go on the Bally's app.
No.
And watch them on streaming.
You cannot purchase the Bally's app for $20 a month. The only way you can watch them quote unquote streaming is if you have a cable provider who provides you with Bally Sports.
Or like Fubo.
Yeah.
Which also, I was like, oh, I could do Fubo. Like, I don't know why I thought that was the case.
I think Fubo's $90 a month. I think they made an agreement last year.
They did, but Fubo's $90 a month.
$90 a month?
That's crazy.
That's freaking cable.
That's more than my Hulu Live. Like, what?
Yeah, Hulu Live's like 65, and I'm like, oh, woof.
I think it's like 80 or 90, yeah.
That's no bueno, my friend. No, so yeah. So the way I watch it, Bally execs, if you're listening, cover your ears. I steal my parents' login information.
Can I steal your parents' login information? Is that too many people on?
Potentially, yeah, we'll see. I don't know if there's a cap on it.
I just
it's stupid. Year. It's stupid because we all thought we were going to be rid of this headache this year. And then, you know, Amazon made that big investment into Bally. The other thing, too, is Bally's Diamond Sports Group only owns the streaming rights to 5 teams. Yet they broadcast like something like 16 teams.
So who the hell owned the streaming rights?
I think MLB does, which leads me into a secondary point that by next year, this should all be resolved because Major League Baseball wants to basically, it sounds from what I've read, they want to basically take like MLB TV, get away with like the blackout restrictions and stream all the games that they, as many as they can. But I thought that I read someplace that they needed like 14 teams in order to do so.
Well, all right.
So I don't know how many they technically own the streaming rights or they could own by next year, but hopefully that's a thing by next year.
I just can't.
At the very least, the Guardians won't be on Bally next year. Like, yeah, I don't know if they go the local network route. Which would be really, to be completely honest, nice. And just charge, like, you know, every advertiser, like, hey, you want to advertise with us? Like, it's, you know, $5 million for the season.
Yeah, I just, as long as I don't have to go the illegal stream route anymore. It was hell on earth last year because all my best options are, like, gone. Yeah. So it was like really, really hard watching games.
No, it's a nightmare.
Horrible.
It's a nightmare.
It was horrible.
And a lot of the you know, the professional publications in town here have actually even said too, like, the viewership numbers are still good for the Guardians games, but they could be a lot better.
Yeah, I mean,
like the Guardians still rank in like the top 10 in all of Major League Baseball for like viewership numbers, but I think that they go like, you know, with like a network route, right? You know, a CBS, you know, local affiliate is broadcasting the games, or you know, NBC affiliate, whatever they end up on. Those viewership numbers are going to just explode, or have the potential to explode, I should say.
I mean, how are you going to get a younger audience, man?
Exactly.
Like involved in wanting to watch baseball and get excited about baseball when you literally cannot watch it.
Yeah.
You are literally
you're either going to the game or you're not seeing it.
It's crazy. Insane. While you guys were talking, I was seeing, I think T-Mobile has the rights for one more year to do the free, if you're a T-Mobile subscriber,
the free MLB TV.
Free MLB TV. I do that. And they also did free, this year they did, if you had Apple TV, you got free MLS TV. So you could watch.
Nice.
And that was great because when my son had soccer practice, I would just like watch the games like on my phone. It was the best.
Yeah. Yeah. MLB TV is also free to season ticket holders. I believe there's some kind of arrangement there too. It doesn't help Guardians fans though, because they're blacked out.
That's what I was just going to say. It's like, I have MLB TV just to watch other markets.
Yeah. Yeah, you get to watch other markets, but you can't watch your own.
Yeah.
So there is that. But again, you know, hopefully we only have to endure one more season. Because quite frankly, it's a clown show and it needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
But
I mean, you're talking about, you know, it's like, then it's like, well, you know, teams like the Rangers, I think, make like over $100 million.
Yeah, but that's because of market size too.
Well, that's the thing though. It's like, okay, well now you got to find a way though for that to still happen.
Yeah. Well, and I think if like the Guardians, like let's say they went to like WKYC, you know, the NBC affiliate here, and we're like, hey, you want to broadcast our games, like we'll sell the ad revenue time and we'll give you, you know, like 10% of the ad rev or whatever the agreement is. I don't know how that all works. That is one area that I'm admittedly unfamiliar with, but maybe there is some kind of, you know, hey, the channel has to get X amount of dollars. Theoretically, I mean, the Guardians could start charging, like I said, you know, $5 million per, you know, each entity who's advertising with them. And if they could get 10 entities, you know, that's $50 million right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you get 15, 16, you're already making more money there. You know,
I hope they go the Major League 2 route and just sell all this gaudy ass advertising all over the walls, all over the stadium.
Hey, they already have the marathon jersey patch. Let's not forget about that. That's bringing in like $4.5 to $5 million.
You know? I like the marathon. I'm like,
oh, it looks good. It looks good on the jersey.
It works really well. They picked a good color. Like, I'm glad like, they didn't pick some like crazy.
I'm glad
color.
It wasn't Quikrete like the Braves.
Yeah. Well, you're an owner. You're a minority owner, so you can talk to him about that.
I could probably change that. I could probably change it, yeah. You know, I'll just start a uprising within the ownership group.
I was trying to... I was thinking about looking up, like, viewership numbers in the NBA to see what the Suns' viewership is this year.
Yeah, they Suns, went to that model. Suns and... whom else did it? Coyotes in the NHL? There was another West Coast team that went to like a local affiliate though for the NBA, I thought. Besides the Suns. Jazz?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter. But that does lead me into another point though. So the Guardians are probably gonna get $50 million or so from Bally Sports, because they're taking about a 15% haircut on what was supposed to be like a $60 million to $65 million revenue agreement. From Bally's, per their old agreement, they got reworked. But for $50 million, I know we mentioned, you know, the Bellingers and so on as, you know, potential free agent signings. But I wanted to ask each of you, what about a potential extension candidate? Right now, we all the only guys we have locked up are Jose and Jimenez.
We only get one, right?
In this game. No. I think I legitimately think that with, okay, hey, you know, you're getting about $10 million less. Maybe that means no free agent this year.
Yeah, but they
made more tickets. But you could sign two guys. You could extend two guys.
They made a lot more ticket sales.
Oh, no. There's an episode I want to go down. There's an episode I want to do here soon, too, where I calculated, I think I calculated, how much revenue they brought in. Now, I don't know all the expenditures, but I think it's somewhere in the $150 million range that the club made. And with the payroll, the major league payroll, in the neighborhood of $92 million last year, there's room. There's room to make a significant signing or two good signings. I'll put it that way.
I'd put everything into signing Josh Naylor. That would be
okay.
That would be like, I would do whatever it took to keep him here, because he's the only other bat that's a sure thing right now. That I would argue has like impact. Like Kwan at the top of the lineup is like fine, and yeah. I love Stephen Kwan, but
I do too. There's a world where I can see him leaving in 3 years.
You know, so I think, and I mean, I don't think he'd get like, he's 3 years older, so I don't think looking at like Bobby Witt's deal necessarily like.
It's not an apples to apples, and Witt's got home run power where
that's super key.
No, I'm talking about Naylor.
Oh, Naylor. Well, Kwan's older than Witt too, though. Maybe only 2 years older.
I mean, Stephen Kwan, the only way, I think he stays, but I think he signs a pretty damn friendly deal, just because like he's like Luis Arraez light, so it's like, well, okay, but Naylor has every chance to become like a true blown full blown superstar. So
yeah,
I'm like, dude, I would straight up go to him and be like, here's what Bobby Witt got. You're 3 years older, but we'll work it and like kind of give you something similar where you're like, you'll get $25 million a year for, like, 7 years? I don't know. I mean, because I think Witt's deal is, like, he makes, like, $26 million for 11 seasons. For 11 seasons. It's, like, a guarantee of, like, $288 million.
Yeah.
And if you go to Naylor and say, look, you've got injury history, you're 3 years older, we'll give you $26 million a year for 7 years because you're 3 years older or whatever.
Yeah, so, that makes sense.
Now with Naylor,
because I agree with, I don't dis, let me back up. I don't disagree with you on Naylor, but as we've touched on before in previous episodes, the Guardians own the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
A strong candidate to be taken in that number one pick is that Kurtz kid out of Wake Forest.
He's a first baseman DH. So is Kyle Manzardo, dude.
Yeah, I don't care.
And that's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm exactly getting at. Don't give me that line.
I'm
just wondering if this is what they're thinking of. Is, oh hey, we can punt on Josh Naylor because we're going to supplant him with Kurtz, who might be a little bit better of a prospect, and we also have still Manzardo in the system too. I'm just playing devil's advocate with this, because I think there's a world where you could find playing time for all three on the roster.
Yeah, the roster's ass, so you can.
Kurtz is even playing like out, like is like willing to play the outfield.
Perfect. He can play right field. Manzardo can DH, and Naylor can play first. Now you have three hitters. Like, that's, like, I, I, I that's just, just That's psychotic.
Well, Fabs, it is because, but I have to be psychotic because of the ownership group.
Jose is going to be 31. Like, he has.
Jose is going to probably have to DH a little bit more, too.
Moving forward. He has like two to three elite seasons left, and maybe a season or two after that where he's like really good. Like, I mean, you shouldn't have done that extension if you had no plan to. And again, I mean, we've talked about the names. Like, this team is probably a 95 win team if you don't trade Junior Caminero and Nolan Jones. That solves all the shit we're talking about, and that's what's so frustrating.
It really does.
That was the window. Mine is also Josh Naylor. He is not only is he like I strongly think if you have a healthy pitching rotation and serviceable hitting from Jimenez, Bo Naylor, Kwan, I think you can make a World Series with Naylor and Ramirez as your two like elite hitters.
Yeah,
it's not. It would be. Yeah,
because I think Bo will have stepped up. I think Manzardo
is going to hit 22 to 25 home runs. Manzardo, yeah, So, but yeah, Josh Naylor is such a. I feel like he is like in the heads of all of our division rivals. The White Sox crumbled at his feet.
Clearly, in the White Sox heads.
I love that he has a connection with that helps with Bo Naylor. Like, that's awesome. He's such an emotional. He's like the main emotional guy on the bench. He like you need a psychopath. And he's also an elite first baseman. Like, everyone is always just like forgets that, but he's like one of the best statistical defensive first basemen in the league.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't know what Manzardo is. So like, I would rather
Manzardo. I mean, I don't want to speak for all three of us, but I think I am pretty confident in saying that all three of us feel pretty strong that Manzardo is going to be a pretty damn good player.
Yeah, I mean, but he can DH. Like, we don't know where he is defensively. Like, if he's going to be at that level, there's a lot they can do. But Josh Naylor is like,
and then he's your number one.
Yeah, if I had a second, it'd be Bybee because, like, I mean, he's the Cy Young runner up, and like he's the heir apparent right now. It seems like the heir apparent to Bieber.
That makes sense, Steve. Who's your number two?
I mean, maybe Stephen Kwan. I'd probably want a little more. I'd want to see a little bit more out of any of the pitchers.
That's fair.
Before I did anything from an extension standpoint. But at this point, it's like I need to keep anybody who's even remotely not a zombie on offense on this team. Which is, again, why I want Naylor as my biggest candidate because, like, you know, it's like we can't kid ourselves. This is a comatose offense. So, like,
100%. And if you get rid of him, you know, it's even that much more.
And there's no, I'm not,
there's no, it's there's like, no guarantee in Manzardo or whomever is the first round pick.
Yeah. So,
they're not guaranteed for anything, you know. None of these guys the louder too. You know, I mean, we're all high on him, I think, too.
Yeah, you never know. So I think Josh Naylor at this point is pretty established, and he's still only 26. So yeah,
he's got another good 8 years.
Yeah, I'd get on that real fast. But second, yeah, I mean, I like Kwan just to like have somebody in the outfield for the long term, knowing that like. You still really, truly, actually have no damn clue who's going to be in center and right field at any point. Like, we could say, like, oh, maybe this guy, maybe this guy. But you don't know. Kwan's the only one that even is remotely a sure thing.
Well, so, and that leads into, like, my final point that I wanted to touch on tonight was because you guys covered the three guys that I think are your top three candidates in Bybee, Josh and Kwan as potential extension candidates. You know, I did also throw out, you know, Bo and Manzardo, kind of locking those guys up before they really did anything.
But I do think the trio of Josh, Quan, and Bybee are the most likely to some degree. Even if Bybee is only extended, you know, an additional year that you kind of get, you get that year back that you lost. I could see that happening. Heck, I could see a 1 year extension with Bieber too. I could see that. You go to him and go, hey, Shane, here's $16 million guaranteed. Yeah,
Shane, let's get real talk.
Like, you haven't been healthy.
You get injured every year. I know your velocity's up above 93, but let's calm down.
But I can see that too. But I'm not sure Shane does that. But anyway, the position battles. We've touched on it before.
Let's do it real quick.
What is your position battle? The one I wanted to ask you guys between bullpen, that's kind of boring to me. Between shortstop and then probably center and right, I think we can all agree those are probably the four areas that there's a position battle.
Yeah.
I mean, like a true position battle.
The only one that I really care about is...
But what's your number one?
One I care about is I want to just see Brian Rocchio take it over at shortstop. I think the way he played in that Venezuelan league.
Yeah.
Leading them to a championship, I think is pretty telling that this guy's going to be special. I think he hit
370 or something like that.
Yeah, so he hit... he had 377 in like 70 at bats in that Venezuelan league. So like, I don't know. That's that to me, it's just like, it's sitting right there plain as day. And that's the one where I'm just like, I'm excited about that. And then it's like Tyler Freeman has been taking some reps in the outfield. So I read something on Tyler Freeman.
Yeah.
And I'll have to dig up the stat. But I thought it was really weird to see his name on this list. It was like a list of players who had like the best like line drive rate with the best like hard hit rate last year.
Oh.
Of like under the radar players that it was like for fantasy baseball purposes. Yeah, yeah. And I'll have to dig up this list because like it was all the dudes you would expect. And then it was Tyler Freeman.
And well, Freeman always struck me, like, even just reading about him, like, he's like, oh, this is a guy who's going to have, like, low teens power numbers as far as home runs. But the dude's going to hit a shit ton of doubles.
Yeah, I think he could be special.
But don't you think at this point, too, and I know I threw him into, you know, for our notes purposes, like, as a potential shortstop. But to me, he seems more like he's your super utility dude.
That makes sense.
Like he's your super utility dude. He can play every infield position outside of catcher. And if he can play some outfield, to me, he's like, I'm trying to think of a name. He's like what Whit Merrifield has been the last like 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Steve. I think, and it's been this way for like 3 years now. It's the shortstop battle. Mm-hmm. I'm on the Rocchio train as well. I'm excited. I can't wait for the season to start because I in my mind, Bo Naylor is just going to pick up where he left off. We don't have to worry about it. We finally have a catcher who can hit 20 home runs. Rocchio is finally going to get the chance. He's going to hit, 15 home runs and bat, 280. And Jimenez will be back where he should be. So, I mean, if Rocchio is the answer at shortstop, your entire infield set.
Yeah.
You're literally talking about two outfield positions. And, Florio might find, new life by being in a new organization. He does have some power, and I just really don't want to see Brian Straw very much. Miles Straw.
No,
Fabs, I mean, both Fabs and Steve, I agree with both of your sentiment on the position battle that's most important. It is short. I hope that Rokio wins it. I was very encouraged by his winter league numbers. You know, Gabriel Arias has way too much swing and miss. I'd rather see that swing and miss from like the outfield.
For sure.
Personally. And I think that's where Florial comes into play, where it's like, dude had like 60 extra base hits last year in AAA, or between AAA and his short cup of coffee with the Yankees. Does that translate to the bigs next year, like in a larger role? Who knows? But I'd much rather see Florial than Straw too. So, but I think you can't, I think it's almost, you have to figure out shortstop before you can figure out center field. And I wrote this in an article a couple weeks ago for a Way Back On for our blog site, where I really thought that if Rokio proves himself to be the everyday shortstop, you can then start experimenting with more swing and miss guys out in the outfield. Because you have that kind of that buffer at short.
Yeah, De Los Santos you could throw out there. Yeah.
So you can start getting a little bit weird with center field and right field.
And just go
for broke at the power department there.
Yeah, sell out for it.
You know, where I'm, you know, okay, like that makes sense to me. So I really think that the most important is that shortstop position. Yeah. Clean sweep, guys. I'm all glad that we're on agreement. It's like we planned this.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's like we've got show notes.
Yeah, it's like we have show notes and it's like we, you know, communicate offline.
Yeah, and text about this all the time.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I really think that all the Guardians fans really want the same things, but we're just going about different ways about getting it. But just haven't seen it with Arias.
Yeah, well, he's going to get his shot. So
he better fucking prove it.
Yeah, this is his last chance.
Yeah.
There's plenty of options behind him.
And now he's an untradeable asset, too.
Cool.
It's always the best.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, on that fun upper, spring training is starting. So next time we chat with you guys, spring training will have started. So maybe have some news for you, but we'll probably still be playing our fun off-season games up until then. So, look, the light is at the end of the tunnel of a long, dark winter. So we're getting there. But until then, you know the drill. Rate, review, subscribe, and we'll catch you guys later.